Genesis chapter number 40 is where we're going to be tonight. Genesis chapter 40, if you've got your Bible. And I haven't done this in a long time, but I ran across some humor, and I thought you might enjoy it, so I brought a little humor tonight. But a wife was making breakfast of fried eggs for her husband. Suddenly, her husband burst into the kitchen. "Careful! Careful! Put some more butter in! You're cooking too many at once! Too many! Turn them! Turn them now. We need more butter. Oh, no. Where are we going to get more butter? They're going to stick. Be careful. I said be careful. You never listen to me when you're cooking. Never. Turn them. Hurry. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't forget to salt them. Use the salt. Use the salt." The wife stared at him. "What is wrong with you? You think I don't know how to fry an egg?" The husband calmly replied, "I just wanted to show you what it feels like when I'm driving." A lot of truth in that, isn't there? Now, Ashley, she doesn't say all those things when I'm driving. She just does this, you know, and I'm like, it's okay. I've still got a hold of the steering wheel. We're gonna make it there alive. And so, anyhow, Genesis chapter 40. I know maybe this is just me, carnal human. I don't know, but the Lord directed me to this passage really through my personal devotions. But I feel like I preach a lot from the life of Joseph, and I really do enjoy the story of Joseph, and the application to Joseph's life seems like it has no end. There's just so much to learn from Joseph. But when I think about the passage tonight, I almost feel like, man, this is, in humanly speaking, this is too familiar of a passage, but I know the thought is what the Lord has, and I think that it will be a help to you tonight. I know it will if you'll allow the Lord to speak to you. But Genesis chapter number 40, we're going to read down through the first 8 verses of this chapter, and then we'll pray and we'll jump into the thought tonight. But I want you to just follow along in your Bible, Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers and against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." That's an interesting thought. We're going to come right back to that here in just a minute here. Verse 4 says, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison." Verse number 6, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream." Read the rest of that sentence with me. "And there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now, the story is super, super familiar for some of you. You could probably almost quote those verses, at least relay the story as those verses do tonight. But I want to key in on that phrase tonight that the butler and the baker said to Joseph when they said, he said, "Hey, why are you so sad? What's wrong?" And they said, "We've dreamed a dream, but there's no interpreter of it. We know this dream has significance, but we don't know what it means, and we don't have anybody to tell us what it means." Let's go to the Lord tonight, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us from this passage. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, so grateful for the opportunity to be, Lord, in a warm place together, Lord, around your word. And Lord, we pray that this would not just be another service, but Lord, this would be a time when we would hear your voice. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I pray that you might lift burdens tonight. Lord, challenge us, encourage us. Lord, tonight, help us, Lord, to do soul searching in our own lives. And Lord, ask what it is that you'd have us to change or do differently or do better. And Lord, I pray that you'd get the honor and glory for. Lord, we pray for our pastor tonight. Lord, strengthen him. Lord, where he's at, keep him safe. Use him this week as he preaches there in Africa. Lord, others that are not with us tonight, I think of Mrs. Compton, Brother Ortiz. Lord, I pray that you might strengthen them physically. Lord, and others that may be sick and not here. And Lord, most of all tonight, we ask that you would speak to us here in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter number 39, familiar story, chapter number 39, Joseph is thrown into prison. He's thrown into prison, obviously, by false accusation. I don't know all of the things that went through Joseph's mind during the story that we have. We know at the end of the story, he looks back and he even tells his brothers that God meant this for good. Everything that happened in his life, he looked at it and said God had a reason and a purpose for it. But I have to think, humanly speaking, and the scripture doesn't say this, I'm not trying to add anything to scripture, but I have to think that there had to have been some times in Joseph's life as he went through the storyline that we know from scripture that he must have questioned or at least thought, why? Or what's taking place? Or God, why would you allow this to take place? But he's thrown into prison. It's interesting at the end of chapter number 39 that when he's put in prison, the Bible says in verse 22 of chapter 39, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Now this is interesting to me that Joseph is a prisoner. He is one of them. And yet the keeper of the prison basically made him, you might want to say, the prison warden or prison keeper within the prison. So all of the prisoners, Joseph takes care of them. They answer to him. He oversees it. He, you know, I don't know all of what he must have done as far as his responsibilities in that role, but the prisoners are under him. Now, church family, if you don't get the whole thought tonight, and I think there'd be a thought that will really help you, but I want you to get this one thing. God puts people in your life and in my life that he allows to come across our path. And church family, if we look at life as happenstance or by chance or accident, we will miss opportunities to help people. And in particular, we'll miss opportunities to witness to lost people. Now you think about the story of Joseph. Joseph was not in prison by his choosing. Joseph was in prison because somebody lied about him. Because somebody was dishonest and got him put there. Now you and I look at the story and Joseph looks back on his life at the end of the story and says, God allowed that. And can I tell you, in your life, whether it's because of somebody that did something that you might have thought was dishonest or wrong, or whether it was a circumstance that you did not expect to happen, and God puts you in a place, it's because God has a perfect will for you there. There are things that happen in Barney Smith's life that I cannot control, just like there are things that happen in your life the same way. But I find it interesting in this story that God allowed the butler and the baker to be thrown into the same prison with Joseph. They could have been thrown in prison anywhere else. They could have been thrown in prison at any other time. But God, in his all-knowing, allowed these two men at this particular time to be thrown into a prison where Joseph was overseeing the prisoners and allowed them to cross his path. Now, can I beg of you, if you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to think about your life and start going through your life tonight and realize that just because I didn't expect this to happen in life doesn't mean that it was an accident. The person that you work with that you just think, oh, we just happen to work the same job. The neighbor that lives on your street that you just think, we just happen to be neighbors. Or the person that you run into at the gas station that happens to be pumping gas on the other side of the pump. Or the nurse that you meet at the doctor's office. Or the list could go on and on and on. Those are people that God allows to cross your path. Amen. Here's Joseph. He's in prison. He could be discouraged. He could be upset. He's not. He's doing his duties as overseeing the prisoners and taking care of them. And God allows two men to be put into prison with him. Now, I'm not going to go through a lot of the story, but I've got to point out some things that I want to give you the thought. Obviously, you understand the story. These two men have a dream. And the Bible says their dream was, verse number 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So, I imagine, and again, not adding to the story, I just want you to think about it tonight. These two men get up one morning, and the one says to the other, "You ain't gonna believe." You ever heard anybody say this? "You never guess what I dreamed last night." Now, I don't know if that's how this conversation started. I don't know, okay? I'm not trying to add. But he goes, "You ain't gonna believe what I dreamed last night." And the other, Butler, Baker, whichever one was, "You ain't gonna believe the dream that I dreamed last night." And I imagine them as they begin to relay their dreams one to another. Now, you might think, why were they so troubled about these dreams? I mean, surely in their life as humans, these are adult men, surely they've had a few dreams where they've woke up in the morning and had a nightmare or something that they dreamed or thought in the middle of the night that they thought, "Wow, I'm glad that's not true," or that's a wild dream," or whatever it is. Surely that had happened. But you think about the significance. This happens the same night. You think about as they tell their dreams, and we're not going to read through all of it in the scripture. You're familiar with the story. But for the one in his dream, there's a vine that has three branches. And he takes the grapes and squeezes the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and gives the cup to Pharaoh. The other man, as he begins to tell his dream, in his dream, there's three baskets. And these three baskets have baked goods for Pharaoh. And before he can even take them to Pharaoh, the birds come and eat the baked goods out of his basket. And you can imagine the men as they're talking, "Isn't it interesting that we both had a dream the same night? Isn't it interesting that the vine in your dream has three branches and in my dream I've got three baskets? And both of our dreams have to do with Pharaoh who got us put in this prison, who was offended." I don't know, I'm not trying to add to the story tonight, but there was enough significance in these men's dreams that they knew that these dreams have a meaning. There's an importance to these dreams, but yet we don't have anybody to tell us the interpretation of the dream. Now, church family, I want to make a simple, simple, simple application tonight. And I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about the people that God puts in your life. And many times, God takes unbelievers and believers. And by his providence, he puts them in the same place at the same time so that a believer can tell an unbeliever about his God. Amen. Here's two men in this story. They have no idea why, but they dreamed these dreams and they're troubled. The Bible says they're sad. I imagine Joseph coming in the next day and thinking, "Man, what happened to you guys? I mean, I know we're in prison, but from yesterday to today, something is different. You're sad. Your countenance is down and there's got to be something wrong." And as he begins to question them, well, here's what they say. "We've dreamed a dream. And we know," it's interesting to me, they said about their dream, they didn't say it doesn't have any meaning or interpretation. You know what they said about their dream? We don't have anybody to interpret it for us. We know they're significant. Can I tell you, many times for a lost person, they're going to come to a point in time in which in their life when it may not be a dream, but they're going to be looking for answers. And they're going to know that a circumstance happened in their life for a reason. And they're going to begin to question in their mind. They may not even believe in God or know about God, but they're going to know something happened, and I don't know what the meaning of this is, but this has significance to my future or my life or my family or whatever's taking place in the life that God's giving. That happens many times in the life of a lost person. You can imagine these two men, the butler and the baker. I don't know a lot about their life, but obviously the Egyptian men, obviously they probably would be unbelievers, most very, very likely. But yet these two men said, "There's something about this. We need to know what the meaning of this dream is. And we don't have anybody to interpret it." The church family, the application tonight is very, very simple. God brings people into your life. He brings people into my life. And sometimes he's working in the heart and life of a lost person. And he's given them a message. The message is to the whole world. And he's waiting for you and I to be the interpreter. Do you know what the word interpret means in this passage? The word interpret means to open. In other words, God had given these men a dream, and within that dream was an interpretation, was a message that God wanted to speak to them. But they said, we have no interpreter. We have no one to open the dream for us and tell us what it means. And you know what Joseph says? Go back to the scripture. I think you'll see the parallel so easily tonight. The Bible says in verse number 8, and they send in, we've dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a time in your life which, if you'll allow God to work through you, in which you'll be in a situation where God's going to put a lost person in your path. Amen. And that lost person is going to have things going on in his life that you have no idea are going on. And he's going to come to a point in his life when he's looking for answers. And God wants you to be the interpreter. Not to come find new revelation from, hey, we have all of God's word right here. Nothing more added to it. But there's a lost world whose eyes are blinded. There's a lost world who doesn't understand what this book means and how it applies to their life. On a Thursday night, Brother Ben Craighead and I, there's six of us that went out door-to-door soul winning. We knocked on an apartment door. A lady came to the door, I probably 20s, maybe early 30s, and she was Muslim. And when I say Muslim, she was not just claiming that as her religion. She knew it very, very well. We probably talked with her, I'm just going to say 25 minutes or so, had a very, very in-depth conversation. I felt like very in-depth conversation. And you know what it boils down to? It boils down to she does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Oh, he's just another prophet, like Muhammad, like Abraham, like Isaac. She doesn't really believe. Do you know why? Because her eyes are blinded. She sincerely believes in the Quran and the teachings of Islam. Hey, can I tell you, we live in a world of people like that. It might not be Islam. It might be they're blinded by the riches of this life. It might be another religion that they're blinded by. And God wants to speak to them. And church family, can I tell you, if you don't get anything else from tonight's message, I want you to stop and realize that God puts you in a place for a purpose to reach people. Amen. And there are people that are going to be in your prison cell that'll never be in Barney Smith's prison cell. There are going to be people that are going to come to you with questions that will never come to me with questions. And all God wants you to do is what Joseph did. Hey, guys, I've got good news for you. Do not interpretations belong to God? I know you're at a loss and you say, hey, what are we going to do? We know this dream has significance for our life, but we don't have anybody here to interpret it. Joseph, hey, I got good news for you. I know somebody who knows the interpretation. I know somebody who knows what that dream means in your life. Now, church family, the thought, I feel like I'm going to be short tonight. I probably always say that, and I probably never am. I feel like this thought is very elementary. How can you and I be an interpreter? Brother Feli, you know sign language, right? I know a lot of times I see him back there ushering, and he does sign language. If I was to bring Brother Feli up here, Brother Feli, come up here real quick. I want you to think about this tonight. This is what's going on. Now, Brother Feli, you come on up here. I'm going to have you sign. Now, you guys pretend like you're deaf tonight, all right? And you can't hear what I'm saying, and you need to tell them God loves you. The Bible is the word of God. All right, now, if you're deaf and you don't have this guy, then how are you going to know what I'm saying? Do you realize that God gave a book called the Bible to the entire world? And God has a message for every lost person, and it's the message of salvation. Amen. But can I tell you, unless there are people who will interpret, and thus there are people that will take that message to the lost person doesn't know what it means. Can I tell you, church family, God wants to use you. He wants to use you as interpreter. Thank you, Brother Feller. You appreciate that. Hey, three quick thoughts and we'll be finished and headed out of here tonight. I want you to think about this. Why did God use Joseph as an interpreter or to interpret the dreams for these men? Now, this first point, I think it's just, you cannot look at Joseph's life and not see this. Think about this. These men, when they were placed into this prison, Joseph is not known in the prison as the interpreter. He's not known as the one, if you have a problem, this guy can solve. You know who Joseph is? He's another prisoner. Why would these men give ear to Joseph? Why would they say, okay, Joseph, we'll tell you our dream. Tell us what the interpretation is. I want you to go back to a verse earlier in this chapter that sticks out to me. The Bible says this, Pharaoh's offended, verse number 2, they arrest the butler and the baker. Verse number 3, and he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where, it's interesting, the place where Joseph was bound, that's where he put him by God's divine appointment. Verse number 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. All right, so the captain of the guard brings these two men to prison. He says, Joseph, even though Joseph is a prisoner, even though Joseph is incarcerated there, he says, hey, Joseph, here's these two guys. They're under your control. Look what the Bible says. And he served them. Do you realize in the prison, I don't know, this is probably not the right word, but in the prison hierarchy, Joseph's up here, these guys just got here. Do you know what Joseph did for these guys? Hey, what do you need? I'm here to help you. I'm going to serve you. Do you know what we do with the lost world so many times? Oh, I want to go preach Jesus to them. Oh, I want to tell them that they're on their way to hell and that Jesus wants to save them. We don't want to be a servant. When's the last time that you acted like a servant to your coworker? When's the last time that you went and did something to help your neighbor? Oh, we want to be the interpreter. We want to be the preacher. We want to be the one that tells them, thus saith the Lord. Hey, do you notice the Bible says that Joseph, he served them? And look what the last part of verse number 4 says. And they continued in a season in ward. This wasn't one afternoon or one day. In my mind, I don't know, but this is, again, exactly what it means timeline as far as scripture, but I think of a season as we have seasons approximately 3 months long. For 3 months, Joseph serves them. For 3 months, he takes care of these guys. He is a prisoner like them, and yet he is sitting there saying, hey, listen, what can I do for you today? What do you need? I'll take care of that for you. I'll make sure this is taken care of, and he acts like a servant to them. Hey, can I tell you what that did for him? That gave him the opportunity when these men had a dream, didn't know what the interpretation was. And Joseph said, hey, I know a God that knows the interpretation. Tell me the dream. I don't know what was going through these men's mind, but I imagine in their mind, they think, well, you know what? He has served us for 3 months. He has been willing to do what's the statement? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Was this not in Joseph's life the case where these men who were prisoners just like him, who needed to know what God's message was to them through the dream, was this not what happened where they said, hey, this guy's a servant. Hey, can I tell you, if you want to be an interpreter, if you want to be the one that takes the message of God to a lost world, can I tell you what you ought to do to start with? You ought to look for places to serve. Serve your family. Serve at your workplace. I know you may have a job that maybe you don't like. And again, I know that's a difficult situation. If you go to work every day hating your job, I would hate to be in your shoes. But you've got to decide, listen, if this is where God put me, then this is where I'm going to serve. Do you realize this did not start for Joseph in prison? Joseph served when he was a boy at home with his father. Joseph served when he was a slave in Potiphar's house. Joseph served when he was put in prison and lied about. This was something that was a pattern in Joseph's life. Hey, listen, if you and I want to be an interpreter, if you and I want to be the one that gives the gospel to people and want people to listen and want God to bring people across our path that we can witness to, you ought to decide right now, I'm going to be a servant. Amen. Wherever, whoever God brings across my path of life, I'm going to try to help them. Why? Because I want to reach them with the gospel. Why? Because I want to take the good news of salvation to that person. How am I going to reach them? Have you ever looked at somebody in your life, and it may even be a family member, but you think in your mind, I wish they would just let me sit down with them and just give me an ear and let me tell them about Christ. Can I tell you what's going to help you a lot is if you'll decide that you're going to be a servant. Joseph was a servant. What allowed Joseph to be an interpreter? What allowed him to be able to minister to these men? It was he decided, I'm going to be a servant. I want you to give a second thing quickly tonight. Again, just elementary thoughts about this. But Joseph, not only was he willing to serve, I think of something else that's very clear in this passage. And that is Joseph always pointed people to God. I want you to notice, we already read verse number 8, but Joseph's first answer back to these two men is, do not interpretations belong to God? Now, you know how the story plays out after these two men, their story plays out. We get into the next chapter. Pharaoh has a dream. And Pharaoh says, hey, listen, nobody could answer Pharaoh's, or nobody could interpret Pharaoh's dream either. And so they go and they get Joseph and they bring Joseph out. And the Bible says in verse 15 that Pharaoh said unto Joseph, this is chapter 41, I have dreamed a dream and there's none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. I want you to know what Joseph said. Hold on just for a sec. Joseph didn't say, oh yeah, I've done that before. I'm good at this. Joseph didn't say, oh, hey, you came to the right guy. Look what Joseph says in verse number 16 in this chapter. Joseph says this. He says in verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, what? It is not in me. Joseph didn't point people to himself. He pointed people to God. He said, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Look over in verse number 24. Pharaoh again is telling Joseph the dream. Into verse 24, he says, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Look down in verse number 31, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. Joseph's talking here to Pharaoh. It is because the thing is established by who? God. And who? God will shortly bring it to pass. Do you know what Joseph did? Do you know why Joseph was an interpreter of dreams? Because he always pointed people to God. Hey, why is it that we're afraid around lost people to make the statement, Lord willing, I'm going to do this? Well, they might think I'm a Christian. Well, they might think I'm a weird, you know, Jesus person. Why is it we're afraid to give God credit when things happen in our life in front of the lost world? Shouldn't the lost world know that my first response is going to be, hey, praise the Lord, God did that for me. If the Lord allows, I'm going to do thus and so. Do you realize that Joseph always pointed people to God? Not only was he a servant, hey, what can I do to help you? Not only was he looking for people and places where God would use him as a servant, but Joseph was one of those guys. It didn't matter what happened in life. Hey, God's the one that has the answer of peace for you, Pharaoh. God's the one that can take care of your problem. He was confident about it. Do you realize that he's standing in front of Pharaoh? If he doesn't get the interpretation to this dream right, Pharaoh's probably going to do worse to him than he's already done. And he looks at Pharaoh very confidently and says, hey, Pharaoh, I want to tell you something. First, it's not in me. I'm not an all-wise human that can know the interpretation of your dream. But Pharaoh, let me tell you, I know somebody that can. God shall interpret your dream. God shall give you the interpretation of your dream. I want you to think about a third thought tonight, and we'll be finished. Not only was he willing to serve, not only did he always point people to God, I want you to see what Pharaoh says about Joseph, and I think it really sums it up. After Joseph gives him the interpretation of the dream, and obviously you know the story, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And Joseph says, hey, you should set somebody over the land of Egypt and prepare for the famine that's going to come. The Bible says in verse number 39 of chapter 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. I want to jump back one verse. I read a verse ahead. Verse number 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? Look at that last sentence of the verse. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. You'll notice in your text that the Spirit is capitalized. Do you know what Pharaoh was saying about Joseph? He looks at his servants and says, hey, if we're going to set somebody over the land of Egypt, somebody that's discreet and wise, who else are we going to get that's like Joseph, in whom the Spirit of God is? Even a lost man could look at Joseph's life and say, his life is controlled by God. His life is controlled by the Spirit of God. Church family, if you're going to be an interpreter, if I'm going to be an interpreter, one that takes the gospel to a lost world who's searching for answers, our lives should reflect the Holy Spirit's control. Amen. Our lives ought to not be lived like I know what's best in my life and I know which direction I'm going. Our lives ought to be lived surrendered to what God wants for my life today and what God's word says about my life and what God's will is for my family and what God's direction is for my life. Hey, can I tell you, God wants you to be an interpreter. I'm not talking about somebody who finds new revelation from the scripture to take to the world. I'm talking about somebody who simply takes God's word and says God loves you and God wants you to be saved and God doesn't want you to spend forever burning in hell paying for your sin. And God has a will and a plan for your life and he loves you more than anybody in this. God wants you to do that. But if you're going to be an interpreter, you're going to have to decide, hey, I'm going to do what Joseph did. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to serve whoever God puts in my life. You're going to have to decide, hey, listen, I'm going to use every opportunity that I have to point people to God. Amen. That's my first response. And you're going to have to decide, hey, listen, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God control my life. Church family, think about a New Testament story with me. Remember the story of Philip? Story of the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you remember when God sent Philip to the desert? And Philip's out there. Okay, God, I'm here. Do you remember who it was that told Philip, go join yourself to that chariot? It was the Spirit. Do you remember when Philip went to the chariot? Do you remember what he asked the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, what did he say? Understandest thou what thou readest? And do you remember what the eunuch said back to him? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me. Amen. That word guide means simply to show the way. Here's a lost man who had God's word, who was reading God's word, who didn't understand God's word. And God took Philip and sent him out to the desert and sent him to a man riding along in his chariot, reading Isaiah, so that he could do what? He could guide him. Can I tell you, God's going to do the same thing in your life. You say, Brother Smith, I'm just not one of those gifted orator type people. And I get stumbled up and I don't know what to say. Don't worry about what to say. You know what you need to worry about? Worry about being a servant. Worry about pointing people to God. Worry about letting the Holy Spirit control your life so that God can pick you up and put you in a place with someone that's lost. And know that when he does that, you're going to be faithful to him and you're going to be a witness for Christ. I wondered, even in my life, how many times God doesn't send somebody because he knows I'll pass up the opportunity. I wonder how many times in Barney Smith's life that somebody ended up in my prison cell with me. And in my human mind, I just thought, well, they're just here because we ended up at the same place. And I wonder how many times I've missed the opportunity to stop and tell somebody, God has the answer for your life. Amen. Church family, it's a simple thought tonight. This is not deep. Are you being the interpreter? Are you being the soul winner? Are you being the witness that God wants you to be? Why don't you stop tonight, and if nothing else, why don't you just ask God to help you, to remind you that every person he brings into your life is by his divine will. And that I ought to look at every person, as Brother Betrayal preached this morning, I ought to be looking at every person as a soul that's headed somewhere for eternity. And if God allowed that person to cross Barney Smith's life in my path, then I ought to be saying, Lord, how can I witness to this person? How can I be the interpreter to help this individual? Heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet this evening. The thought, again, simple tonight. Ask yourself, am I being an interpreter? Am I just existing as a Christian? Am I looking at my life as if it's an accident, or the people that God brings into my life as if it's happenstance? Or am I allowing the Holy Spirit to use me as a soul winner? Let's pray.